you're thinking about right this second? What are you thinking about? Yeah. What are you thinking about? Yeah. What are you thinking about? Too many things. What are you thinking about? What are you thinking about? Crying. What are you thinking about? Nothing. I'm also thinking about a child crying.
I'm thinking how the noise will be recorded forever.
What I was thinking about is that there is a certain power that a child crying has to pull your mind from whatever it is thinking about to it, or to her or him, depending upon who the child is. And therefore, it wasn't by an accident that Prabhupada said that we should chant like a baby crying for mother. Because that crying is so powerful, and it will attract, if we cry, if we chant in that mood, then it will attract Krishna to immediately, to so quickly come to us. But usually, when we chant, our mood is quite different. Because the child, in his or her simplicity of heart, only wants one thing. They want mother. Why do they want mother? For whatever reason. They're either hungry, or there's some pain, or they're bored, but they want mother and nothing else. But as we live in this world, even when we're chanting, perhaps we want Krishna, but we want so many other things. And therefore, Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita, Vyavya Satmika Pudi Ekeha Puranandira, that the minds of those who are actually devotees is vyavya satmika buddhi. Their intelligence is focused. And the opposite of that focused consciousness is bhagu shaka tanantascha buddhaya avyasayinam, is many branched. We have many desires. Now how, and certainly a difference in result will be obtained by those who are bahushaka. What does bahushaka mean? Many branches. And those who are vyavya satmika buddhi, very focused in what they want. A different result will be achieved. And that's completely natural. Because if we want anything of this world even, if we want to attain something wonderful in this world, whether it's an expertise in music or an expertise in Sanskrit or an expertise in computer programming or an expertise in making money, we have to be very focused. Otherwise, we don't achieve anything, practically speaking. So one of the questions we really want to resolve within ourselves is, what do we really want out of our lives? And if we actually resolve that question, and we really want to be servants of the servants of Krishna, then even if there are so many distractions, they won't hold us back. Because that desire to want to serve Krishna is so powerful, because Krishna himself reciprocates with that desire. Krishna himself will help if that's what we want. Yeyetamam prapadyante tamstataiva vajamyam. Krishna reciprocates with us according to our desires. And therefore Prabhupada has said, desire is a subtle form of conditioning. Desire dictates our future in the same way that the way that the train tracks are laid dictates the way that the train will go. It's never that the train goes this way and the tracks go that way. Well, sometimes it happens, actually. In India, that happens quite often, actually. And therefore, and what happens when the train goes this way and the tracks go that way? It's a disaster. And so that means the way that our life is going and our desires, ideally they should be going in exactly the same direction, which means directly towards Krishna. But very often a materialist has an easier time of this particular thing in one sense. They don't have to undergo the anxiety because their life is dedicated to satisfying their material desires. They have material desires and their life is dedicated to that. And devotees, on the other hand, if they are very, very fixed, their desires are going in the same direction as their life. But very often, a devotee has the problem of, I want to go this way to Krishna, but my desires seem to want to go in an opposite direction. So this causes a tension in the mind. And there is two ways to cure the tension, or three ways to deal with it, one could say. One can remain in the tension and not quite fully go that way or not quite fully go that way and be in anxiety. And one does that, can do that for quite a while, and one will just become very, very tired. Or another way is, I think I better align my Krishna consciousness with my material desires. And that's a way to remove anxiety. But another way, of course, and not a very easy way in one sense, is to align our desires with our Krishna consciousness. In other words, we want to be Krishna conscious and make our desire to become Krishna conscious so burning, make it burn so brightly that all our other desires seem quite insignificant. Even the desire for peace of mind and the desire to get rid of this problem or that problem, all these things can appear completely insignificant to a person whose desire to love and serve Krishna is burning brightly. And such a person, whatever situation he or she is in, will be not difficult for them. And a person who is bahushaka, many branch, whatever situation they're in, will be difficult for them. Because they are divided between so many different desires that are burning in their heart. So many. One desire is pulling this way, another desire is pulling this way, another desire is pulling this way, another desire is pulling that way. But this is not at all the nature of love. love by nature is all-consuming. And Krishna, therefore, says, Vakyamam abhijananti yamanyatrasmitatva. That only by devotion, pure devotion, can I be attained and seen as I am. And therefore, pure devotional service, as described by Srila Rupa Goswami, anyabhilashita sunyam, all other desires other than to please Krishna become sunya. What does sunya mean?
Zero.
Anyabhilashita sunyam. Jnana kama anavrita. The desire for knowledge, the desire to become happy on some physical platform or another. All these become zero. And one is engaged anukulena Krishna anushilanam, cultivating one's relationship with Krishna. This is bhakti. This is pure bhakti. And this is the kind of bhakti that gives rise to prema bhakti, love for Krishna. So this is very rare in this world. It is very rare in this world that someone is so sincere, that's really all that they want. Again, it's not a matter of how, of one's external situation. So many of Mahaprabhu's followers, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's followers, were sannyasis, more were householders, some were brahmacharis. But all of them had this one thing in common, that they had no other desire except to attain pure devotional service, to love Krishna. Now how is it possible? How is it possible to gain this desire so strongly? How is it possible for my consciousness to shift from what it is to what it should be? Should be in the sense of the consciousness that will allow me to achieve what I actually want. How to shift my consciousness? Anyone have any suggestions for me?
Praying like anything.
About what? We can pray like anything, but we can't pray like anything about anything.
Yeah.
Let's talk with that one, and then yeah. Yeah, we have to. So if we have that desire, and we see ourselves very weak in front of so many other desires that we have, and so many weaknesses. If we just sincerely and continuously, practically speaking, ask Krishna to help us, this is a very good prayer. And another thing we can do when we feel that we are not getting enough help ourselves is that we can help others. And in that, Krishna gives us help that we need in our attempt to help others. In that way, spiritual life is quite different from material life. In material life, if you give something, say if you have 100 apples, and if you distribute one apple to 100 people, you have no apples. But in spiritual life, if you have 100 spiritual apples, and you distribute those to 100 other people, you end up with thousands and thousands of spiritual apples. It's a good investment. Yes, and Prabhu, what?
I just wanted to say that intense association. Association, yeah, with intense devotees is the same.
Good association is at the essence.
Those who have burning desire can give you burning desire, just like those who have disease, contagious disease, can pass it on.
Yeah. Anything else?
Can you explain again the thing?
Which?
Other
anyone else, not only devotees. But if it is somewhat of an inconceivable thing that when you give, make your attempt to give to others what you yourself are striving for, but yet do not have, then Krishna will give you at least some of that thing. This is described in Chaitanya Charitamrita, how the Panchatattva distributed the fruits of prema bhakti, and the storehouse just simply increased. And therefore, Prabhupada very strongly in Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur recommended preaching as very important in the process of developing one's own Krishna consciousness. And also one time when I was in the Philippines with Srila Prabhupada, one time Srila Prabhupada was in the Philippines, and I happened, and he kindly sent me a letter and said he was going to go, and that I was in Hong Kong, and that I should come and see him. And at that time there was martial law in the Philippines. This was in perhaps 1972. And there were you couldn't have big gatherings of people. And does anyone who knows their history, who was the president of the Philippines at that time? Anyone know? Who? Who? Yes, I was going to tell the story of her with all her shoes. Yeah, she had so many shoes, but only 2 feet. Just imagine how frustrating that is, to have over 1,000 pairs of shoes and only 2 feet. Frustrating, yes? Because you have all those shoes in front of you, but only two. And I guess you could wear two, one of these and one of these. This is the nature of having material desires. It just leads to frustration. And Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said that if one has given up the hope that by material desires, by fulfilling my material desires, I can be happy in this world. If one has actually given up that hope, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, that such a person has taken the greatest step forward in spiritual life. So that is a very hopeful statement. Because even if we have material desires, because that's our conditioning, but if we don't really think that satisfying them is very important, even though they're sitting there in the heart, but we don't think it's very important because it's not going to bring us what we are longing for, then those material desires ultimately won't get in our way. But if we have an attitude of only if I had that, and only if I had this, and only if I had that, and that, and that, and that, and then I'll be happy. If we have that mixed in with our Krishna consciousness, we will only and simply become entangled. In material life. Of course, if one chants Hare Krishna, then one of the first results is Cheto Darpana Marjanam Bhava Mahadavagni Navapanam Shreyakaraya Chandrika Vataranam, that the heart becomes cleansed. What does it mean to clean the heart? The mirror of the consciousness. Cheto Darpana Marjanam. To cleanse the mirror of our consciousness. What does that mean? It's an interesting example. What does it mean to have a mirror, practically speaking?
What it means to have a mirror?
Yeah.
To perceive the truth through it. Or to perceive reality through it.
Yeah. You take a mirror and you look at yourself. So that example that Mahaprabhu explained or said explains that before we can actually look in the mirror of our consciousness and see ourselves, that mirror has to be cleaned. And what is the dust that covers the mirror of our consciousness? It's all these desires that we have accumulated over thousands and thousands of births, lives. Thousands and thousands of births, we have accumulated desires. Only if I have this, only if I'm in that situation, only if I'm successful, only if I'm wealthy, only if I'm beautiful, only if I have blonde hair, only if I have, only if I can play the harp, yeah, like the angels do or something. Harp, yeah. Or sitar. One time Prabhupada told Mukunda Maharaj, does anyone desire to play the sitar here?
Yes.
Yes?
He made a great endeavor to bring a beautiful sitar from India.
Yeah? For Krishna, sir.
For Krishna.
Yes. Prabhupada said, of course, we wouldn't stick in any way. No, that's a very high form of worship. It's actually through music, worshiping Krishna through music. For his pleasure. But Prabhupada told Mukunda Goswami in 1966, right after he took initiation, he desired to go to India and learn to play the sitar. And Prabhupada said, that takes many births. Just like there's people who, the Mozarts of this world and the great composers, when they're 6 years old, they start playing symphonies on the piano, composing symphonies. How is this possible? This is a continuation from a previous birth. This is how powerful desiring is. Or did anyone ever see Mr. Iyengar perform his yoga? His Hatha yoga? Did anyone see him? In a book. I haven't seen him in person. But in videos, it's quite incredible what he can do. It's such amazing control over his body. Complete control over his body in every movement. Or dancers know how to do this too. They're completely conscious. And that's what they try to do in Hatha Yoga, actually. That you have to, because usually with so much in our minds, we forget our bodies, bump into walls and things like that. There's a lot of people who have guilty laughs. I was wondering why all the dents in the walls were there. But in yoga, you try to, when you do an asana, you become conscious of every part of your body. And that way you learn to control your consciousness. And this person, he can do incredible things. But one has to be born with these kind of desires to be able to practice tens and tens of hours a day, practically speaking. And that desire comes from a previous life. Desires push us. They really push us. Krishna explains this in the Bhagavad Gita. Balati Vinayojita. Arjuna asks, what is it that forces us to act even sinfully? It is kama. Kama isha, krodha isha, rajaguna isha. These desires are so powerful. So again, the point is, if somehow or another we can increase our desire to love Krishna, then we are so fortunate, because those desires will carry us to Goloka Vrindavan just in the way, the same way that Mozart's desire to become an incredible symphonic composer carries him immediately into his next birth where he does that. There are others too. How many of you studied music? Yeah? There are many composers who are like this, the great composers. They start when they're very, very, very young.
He was genius.
Huh? Of course. He's a genius. What is it? A genius sounds like something very magical, but it's just a continuation of desires from one's previous life. And Krishna is giving one the potency to do this. So that's really what devotional service is. Didami buddhi yogam tam yena mamupayanti te. Does anyone know what that means? Didami buddhi yogam tam. I give them, yes, Krishna says, I give them the intelligence by which they can come to me. I give that to them. Raise your hand if you would like Krishna to give you the intelligence and the ability to come to him. Yes. And wipe out this other kind of intelligence. Let Krishna give me that. And but does anyone know the beginning of that verse? Vajatam priti purvakam dadami buddhi yogam tam. So if one, what is the bhajatam priti purvakam? One who is worshipping me with great love and devotion, I give that person the intelligence by which he can come to me. So this is what our attempt should be to be. To worship Krishna with some love and devotion. With love and devotion, as much as we possibly can. How to live our lives so that our life becomes fruitful, the actual fruit of life, of human life, becomes realized. Dolabam manusha janma tarapadruva martadam, Prahlad Maharaj says. Dharman bhagavatani ha. By practicing Bhagavad Dharma or Krishna consciousness, then we can attain from our human life something that's temporary, we can attain something eternal and incredibly sweet, which is love for Krishna. And again, that brings to the question, well, How do I realize that this is the most wonderful thing? Because if the more we understand how wonderful Krishna is, the more we understand how sweet it is to develop our relationship with Krishna, the more we understand that this is actually who we are, each and every one of us. We are Krishna's, and Krishna is ours. The more we understand that, then naturally we'll be able to apply our attention and our consciousness and our desires developing our love for Him. So that again brings us back to the point, how we can actually understand that there is nothing else to be gained in this world other than a loving relationship with Krishna. How to do that? And very much it is centered upon hearing about Krishna, and therefore Prabhupada spent so much of his energy and so much of the focus of his movement on books, because Prabhupada translated the holy scriptures. Holy scriptures means that they describe, these books describe knowledge, transcendental knowledge of three different things. Knowledge of our relationship with Krishna, knowledge of the process of attaining loving service to Krishna, and knowledge itself of love for Krishna. What that goal actually is. So there's prayer, there's association, and there is hearing. Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, hearing or studying or reading Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, and trying to take that knowledge and apply it to our lives. Try to just hear properly, with an open heart, with attention. There is a story from the one of the Puranas, perhaps the Padma Purana, that describes the Bhagavatam Mahatmya, the glories of Srimad Bhagavatam, that there were many devotees listening to the Srimad Bhagavatam. And one, in the presence of all the others, left his body, and everyone saw that person attain a forearm form and go to the spiritual world. So the question was asked, so many people were listening, but why did only the effect occur for this one person? Again, in the presence of everyone, he actually went to Vaikuntha, the spiritual world. And the answer, does anyone know what the answer was? Listening attentively. And of course, the speaker was qualified, but when that person's mind was fixed on Krishna, and if one's mind becomes fixed on Krishna, attentively and hearing the Bhagavatam, then Krishna is actually present in that. And Krishna will do all the rest from inside. And therefore, in the first canto of the Bhagavatam, it says, Srinvatam svakata Krishna punya shravana kirtanam vidyanta stoya badrani vidinoti suratatam. Which means that if we become eager to hear the Bhagavatam, the Srimad Bhagavatam, in which the pastimes of Krishna are related, then Krishna himself will act as the well-wishing friend from within our heart, and he will clean the heart of all the inauspiciousness, all the abhadrani. He will do the work. We struggle so much with so many things. But if somehow or another, if Krishna takes up the cleansing work, then what struggle will we have? We won't have one. So here is a prescription of how to do that. Just become eager to hear Srimad Bhagavatam. But how do you do that? How do you become eager when there is no eagerness? Back to that same question, and the answers are the same. By association, by hearing, by prayer. By worshipping the deity, by going to holy places. and by chanting Krishna's holy names, a taste, a different taste can come to the heart. So let us hear something about Krishna. Now everyone take 1 minute and think about something about Krishna. And then I'm going to ask everyone to say something they've heard recently or read recently about Krishna, or realization they've had about Krishna. Is that all right? Okay, so take a minute and think. Literally 1 minute. Literally 20 seconds left. Okay. Raise your hand if you could say something about Krishna. Something short. It can only be one sentence if you like.
Krishna was boasting that he picked up Govardhan Hill. But actually Govardhan Hill was so happy to hear the prayers of the Vrajavasis and so much prasad that he kind of lifted itself, and Krishna just put the finger itself.
Where did you hear that? Krishna was, it was like a balloon or something.
That was the accusations of the coward boys.
Oh. And then they put up their sticks.
Yes.
They thought they would help Krishna lifting up Govardhan Hill because they thought Krishna's hand was becoming tired. So they thought, anyway, Krishna can do it, so we can do it too. Thank you. Something else about Krishna? Yes?
The Gatarini Mataji speaks about the pastimes of the two parrots. One parrot are Radharani's followers, and the other parrots are Krishna's devotees. And they're fighting amongst them. And so much gossiping is about Krishna. So one parrot is telling Radharani's followers are describing Krishna that he's like a coconut.
He's like a what?
Coconut.
A coconut.
Very sweet from inside, but has a very rough shell of heaven.
What did that was Radharani's parrots?
Yeah.
And what did Krishna's parrots say?
Krishna's parrots were maybe something.
You don't want to say too much, you want to give some less chance. Very kind. Thank you. Something about Krishna. Yes. Very soft heart. His heart is sometimes compared to butter. Very soft. The ear goes right across. Is this mine or not? Okay. Mother immediately recognized, can tell whose it is. Krishna is called Bhakta Vatsal. That means he's very fond of his devotees. Thank you. Something else about Krishna? Yes.
That Krishna is beautiful eyes. Time here about the beautiful eyes of Krishna. And once upon a time I read in the Bhagavad Gita when Krishna looked at the gopis with his beautiful eyes and he had tears in his eyes, and I thought, I want to see this eye, his beautiful eyes.
You thought like that.
Yeah.
What color are Krishna's eyes?
They're reddish. It's red, but very the color is not was the main thing there.
That's very beautiful. Krishna's eyes are compared to the lotus petal. Yes, and they go from here to here, practically. Here, to the ears almost, there. I couldn't find my ear. To there. Very, very beautiful. And his eyebrows dance.
He's got very, very big head.
Of course he has a big head, because Mother Yasoda saw the whole universe in Krishna's mouth.
That means
of course.
Very big throat.
Uh-huh.
Very big throat. Because
yes. Otherwise, also it describes how the universe was in his stomach. So how could it have gotten in his stomach unless it went down his throat? Anything else about Krishna?
Krishna meditates on himself in the morning.
Where?
Dwarka.
In Dwarka. Krishna meditates upon himself. How many? Krishna had 16,108 palaces. And in each one, he had a wife and a family. Each one, Krishna would enter into each one simultaneously and perform different activities in each palace. So the materialists say that this is mythology. Why do they say it's mythology? Huh? It's inconceivable.
Then I'm here.
Yeah. Because I can't do it.
I can ask a question about this?
Yeah.
Because now and then, you also go to different places in Varka and saw Krishna. But he was a wonder how Krishna do it. But he do it also. He go to the different houses like Krishna, and he was surprised how Krishna do it.
But when Narada went to the different palaces, he went. One Narada went from one to the next to the next to the next.
Oh, like this?
Yes. And in each one, he saw Krishna doing different things. Same Krishna, but doing different things. So therefore, he was astounded. In one palace, he saw Krishna going out to spy in disguise. So no one could recognize him. He saw Krishna dressing in disguise. Now, Krishna is the all-pervading, omniscient, he knows everything. And he's going out in disguise to find out what his ministers are doing, to see if anyone is cheating. So this is Krishna's pastimes. So Narada Muni's conclusion about this is, because Narada Muni's desire was to be able to speak about Krishna and always think about Krishna. And Krishna displayed so much opulence and so many wonderful pastimes that it gave Narada Muni unlimited things to think about and talk about, all about Krishna. So therefore, there are so many books, there are so many lectures of Prabhupada's about Krishna, and if we hear and read, we'll have so many Krishna conscious things to engage our mind in. And if we don't, if all we do is materialistic activities and read material things, then our minds are naturally going to be engaged in material things continuously. So therefore, hearing is so important. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj, when he described, when he defined for his father what devotional service is, the first thing he said was what? Shravanam, hearing. Because all of Krishna consciousness is based on this one thing, hearing about Krishna. Because if there is no shravanam, if there's no hearing, there won't be any kirtanam, no chanting. There won't be any inspiration. And then our material desires will creep up on us. And then the result of that, if our material desires become prominent in our mind, in our minds, then the result is so much difficulty. So much difficulty. It's already difficult enough because we carry a huge bag of material desires in our mind with us everywhere, and it's such a heavy weight. And if we bring them to the surface by cultivating them, then they'll give us even more trouble. But on the other hand, if we bring our, if our Krishna consciousness is manifest in our thinking, in our speaking, in our actions, then they will push out all the material desires quite naturally and effortlessly, as light naturally pushes out darkness. And without the flame of our Krishna consciousness burning brightly, then naturally the darkness of material desires will come. And again, it's based so much upon hearing. Hearing in the association of devotees. Hearing about Krishna in the association of devotees. Who can say something else about Krishna? Something, did anyone listen to, recently listen to any tape of Prabhupada, a lecture of Prabhupada? He said something. What did he say? Do you remember anything what Prabhupada said?
I listened to early tapes, early recordings from 66.
Yes. Prabhupada's special. Those recordings are very special.
Yeah.
Remember anything? Anyway, as soon as you remember something, raise your hand and I'll ask you. Anyone else remember anything? Anyone else hear anything? The Pope? Yes.
Gurudev says in one of his lectures that he's like butter puppets in the hands of the devotees.
That Krishna is like?
Butter puppets.
Butter puppets.
Yeah. In the hands of the devotees.
Because their love is so great, Krishna reciprocates with them. So again, that's another point we've been speaking about. How to increase our bhakti, our love for Krishna. Do you want to? First one was that Krishna is always in the core of the heart of the devotee. Oh. Yeah. Adam ekam nagacchati. Krishna never takes one step out of Vrindavan.
Then, when Krishna went to study, then some acharyas commented that that Vrindavan extended himself to a place outside.
Wait, yes, remember.
You give an example.
Prabhupada gave an example.
Prabhupada gave an example that if we are living our life as materialists, materialists live their life, and it's like wasting their life. And we give an example that someone is building a very nice house, and at the end he says, I built a very nice house, but what I do with it, I put fire to it.
Yeah.
I burn it. So it's an example of in material life, the people, that's what they do, they just spoil their life, and at the end, like in India, they cremate the body, so it's put fire to the, at the end they put fire, it's like
yes.
Just wasting the all the effort, all the energy, working all the years in them, just
it's
burning.
Nothing but fire. Raise your hand if you've never seen a dead body. Never.
Yeah.
Human, dead human. I for so many years, I never saw one. Until I went to Vrindavan, probably, I never saw a dead body. Because people don't like this. To see that, but there's such a difference between a body in which the soul is alive, which the soul is within, and a body after the soul has departed. It's completely different. Completely different. One, when the soul leaves the body, it's like dead matter, clearly. And when the soul is there, even if the person is sick, there's life there. The life, the soul carries the life. We have the life, we are not the body. And therefore this is the basic instruction that Krishna gives Arjuna in the Bhagavad Gita. Nahanyate hanyumane sharire. That that matter is dead and the soul never dies. It does not die when the body dies. Is that encouraging or discouraging? It depends how attached you are to the body. But if we think this is that the body is us, that means by definition we're going to suffer. Because the body is doomed. It's doomed. It must die, so if we're attached to it as us, how much we have to suffer? It's inevitable. Suffering is inevitable. And if we understand that we are Krishna's and Krishna is ours and we know about Krishna and we know that how wonderful the Supreme Personality of Godhead is, then how much hope is in our life? If our consciousness becomes fixed with faith in Krishna and his form and his qualities, his pastimes, his name, how much hope our life will have? And if we fix our mind in this, as I was saying, as quoting Prabhupada, in just building a house and putting things in the house, then it's going to be burnt one day into ashes or ground into dust. That's the fate of everybody. how it's hopeless. Material life is actually hopeless, and spiritual life is actually filled with hope. But the hope is in Krishna. It's not in our own ability, it's in Krishna. So one has to hear, one has to gather his transcendental experiences in life. Sometimes I think, what a difference it would make. Because we go through life, I'm in anxiety about this, I'm in anxiety about that. What a difference it would make if I actually and simply accepted that I'm making my attempt to serve Krishna, and Krishna is going to take care of me. He has affection for me. Aham bija pada pita. And he's going to care for me, and he is caring for me. Just like everyone for a moment, not for a very long time, think about the thing that causes you the most anxiety at this particular point in your life. We already told you to think about Krishna, now we'll ruin all the fun. Think about the thing that causes you the most anxiety in life right now. No one looks miserable enough to think that they're actually doing that. It's hard to access something deeply, you know, on the call. But when those anxieties are there, why don't you think about the last time you were in anxiety? Maybe like 2 hours ago, or 15 minutes ago, or something. You know, 1 second ago. Or what was it? You were upset. You were angry. You know. We were fearful about something. And then, how would that be affected if you actually had experienced and trusted that Krishna had affection for you, he loved you, and he was going to care for you? What happens to the anxiety if you actually have faith in that, and strong enough faith to know that it's true? What happens to the anxiety?
No anxiety.
No anxiety, yes, exactly. Wait. Let's let that one sink in first a little for a moment. That if that's what Bhaktivinoda Thakur says. Exactly. Jeev Krishna das e vishvas karlo na aro duko nai. Karle is the conditional tense, means if you have faith that Jeev Krishna Das, with faith, you have faith that we are actually the servants of Krishna. From at that point, you will have no more dukkha, no more misery. And what happens when you say, if you're in anxiety about something and your mind's giving you trouble, and you try to think, wait a second, Krishna's going to take care of this, and Krishna's going to take care of me. What will happen? If you don't have a crazy mind, that's what will happen. And then if you have a crazy mind, the mind will get even heavier. And then the mind will go to war if you try to become, you can say, oh, I'm just going to trust Krishna. The mind will attack very heavily. The mind doesn't like to be controlled. It feels very threatened if you try to take shelter of Krishna. But the mind is like a puff of smoke only. It has no power. It has no substance. But
but it's just like, did anyone ever have the experience you could take some smoke and you could take a projector and you could project a picture on the smoke and it looks like something is there, but if the smoke isn't there, there's nothing. So really the mind has nothing, it's only a bluff. So if we call out to Krishna when the mind is giving us trouble, if we just call out loudly to Krishna, even if we can't call out loudly externally, but loudly in our mind, and fill our mind with Hari Nam, with Krishna's holy name, the mind, amazingly enough, will just stop giving us trouble. As long as the consciousness is filled with Krishna's holy names, the mind will not give us trouble. What was your question?
Yeah, I think you said that if we're afraid, Krishna will take care of us. So you mean if I have faith in Krishna will take care of me, I will give up my material self?
What I meant to say, I was talking about the point that so much of our anxieties in life will be removed if we just simply, in a simple way, just accept that Krishna's going to take care of me. I'm his servant. I'm going to try and serve him according to my ability, and Krishna's going to take care of everything. The whole universe won't exactly confirm to my plans, but Krishna's going to take care of me. And then so much anxiety gone just with that simple thing. How do we develop faith? This faith? Well,
because I say so many times Krishna take care of me. So many times.
So just remember that the next time when you're in anxiety, write it down on your mind. Krishna will take care of me, Krishna will take care of me, Krishna will take care of me. Why don't you just go, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Krishna.
I thought how people take care of me, this, and how, I thought every day, Krishna take care of me, and that way, that way, and that.
And then what happens when
you... Yeah, I thought maybe that's why I would develop faith. But
the problem is the mind doesn't want you to do that. Don't ask me, ask your mind. The mind is wild. It's the material energy. But that's what Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita. Daivyesha gunamayi mama maya dratyaya. So what does that mean?
No one can overcome.
Basically, the material energy is very strong, cannot be overcome. But mameva te prapadyante maya metantandite. If you surrender to me, then you can overcome it. So surrender to Krishna means that you, in the midst of all that, you call out to him and put yourself under his protection. Krishna, I am yours. But even if we're not capable of doing that all the time, Krishna will still take care of us. But we should know, unless we fight this battle, then we won't go forward. Krishna consciousness. The battle is Krishna, 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 I'm yours, help me. And when the mind gives trouble, that's what we should do. instead of trying to work it out on one level, just chant Hare Krishna. Because the mind will entangle us in its complexities. So it sounds so easy, but it isn't so easy, I know that.
I think that we observe our moods and we have some not good mood, so we should teach ourselves always to count on the holy name of chanting in
yes.
that time particularly. And then when we see that it always helps, always Krishna is there for us, so we it's easier to accept him.
Yeah.
To depend
yeah.
on
yes, when we see him. But we depend all the time on so many things that are undependable, don't we? We depend on our mind and our abilities, and we know already that they are not worthy of us taking shelter of them. They will let us down. So we have to learn to depend on Krishna. Let Krishna our shelter. That's what we were speaking of yesterday. It's time already. Okay, last question and then it's over for the night. Or rather, it just begins. You have to start. You have to. Because what we want to do is hear something and then apply it. The best protection against against the mind and the material world is to always chant Hare Krishna.
Today.
Yeah, but this will be the last.
That it, sometimes it's confusing that we find ourselves in a situation where we have to call out because there is this expectation that if I'm protected, not to be so helpless or to be in such a situation.
We are fearful of being in a dependent situation.
Yes, but also that we are supposed, or I don't think, it seems like we are supposed to call out for Krishna from such despair or helplessness.
You're saying that's not good?
Well, sometimes it feels very difficult to do that because there's this expectation not to reach this level of despair or difficulty that we have to call out in.
But you don't have to be here to call out, you can be here and call out. And then you won't end up there. It's not that you want to at all. If you put yourself under Krishna's protection at all times, then you won't have to taste the misery. Did I understand that correctly?
Sometimes there are situations where we just feel lost.
Yes.
And we don't know where Krishna is and what we're supposed to do.
Yes.
And in that situation, we just call it. We're supposed to
call out
to Krishna, and it's very difficult. So that is because I allowed myself to reach this.
And how did you get in that state? By not remembering and calling out to Krishna when you were in this state, and then, or in that state, or in that state, or in that state, and then finally you're there and you have no choice. But better to call out, to understand that we're helpless and dependent in all states, not just when we're miserable. So therefore, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, Suke duke bolo nako vadane harinam korore. That whether you are happy or distressed, you call out to Krishna. Mm-hmm. Not only when you're in distress, or not only if you're in the deepest distress, but all the time. And then one won't become deeply miserable. Okay. Thank you very much, Hare Krishna. So when will we, tomorrow night, will we again?
Usually 6:30, 5:00.
Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai.